want to produce anything. Somebody that's barren can't produce. All right? So it's very important. Here we are up to brotherly kindness. Brother Branham didn't speak a whole lot on brotherly kindness, but he's preached a whole, his whole 1,100 sermons was on brotherly kindness. He was trying to get natural brothers, Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, to come together. Now what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the message people together, you know. And not just see it our way. Because watch this right here. Then sixthly, let's add, the Bible said, adding brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now that's a good one right here, the sixth one, seven, right up there, brotherly kindness. All right, adding brotherly kindness, all right. We got it. When we get to that, brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter. Put yourself in his place on the matter. Where'd you come from?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Bob said, got me too. Hey, Brother Ben, good to have you with us. Good to have you with us. Good to see you. Good to see you. Where was I? Scared me to death when he walked in the door. Now you say, my brother sinned against me, said Peter, shall I forgive him? He said, 7 times a day. He said, 70 times 7. How much is that? 490. How long did Israel? 490. So there you are. God's going to forgive Israel in the 490 years. 70 times 7. Brotherly kindness. Now you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. Hello? Anybody home out there? Don't be impatient with him. Remember, we were supposed to get patience before that. Okay? Because see, to me, like I told you all before, this is number 48 of this Statute of a Perfect Man. It all winds up into charity, but this thing all winds up, and the key is brotherly kindness. Because right there at the pyramid, there's brotherly kindness right before the Holy Spirit seals everything into you and brings the capstone down. Because remember, you can have faith, which is a rock. You can have virtue, which is a rock. Temperance, which is a rock. Patience, a rock. Godliness, a rock. Revelation, right? But when you come to brotherly kindness, if you've got paper, you understand the analogy? That headstone is a rock. If you got rock, 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 and then you think, well, I can pass by a little brotherly kindness, I'll just make it a little paper. I'll just pretend like I love my brother. You know, you know, pretend like Ben's a good guy and not be. But that's what he says. But brotherly kindness has got to be a rock also. All right, that headstone's not going to come on anything but the rock. If you started with a rock in the foundation, which is faith, then brotherly kindness cannot be any other material. So brotherly kindness is just as important, and to me, it's the key to bring you right up into that stature of a perfect man, into the headstone, which is love, which is not a filial love at all. It's agape love. Brotherly kindness. Now, you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. Be kind to him. Go anyhow. Somebody said not long ago, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God, oneness, all the rest? Then put, see, brotherly kindness. See, hoping someday, see, patience with him, see, temperate, enduring with him, knowledge, to understand. You watch what he's doing. To me, brotherly kindness is all these other virtues wrapped up into one. It's all these virtues wrapped up into one. Number one, you got to have faith. Me and Brother Claude was talking the other day, and he's preaching on the Statue of a Perfect Man, so that's really good that he's doing it also, because people are seeing the importance in the Statue of a Perfect Man. I think the one just going to make it to the headstone, you're just not going to be standing somewhere and the headstone fall on you. They're going to rock fall on you one day, but it'll be one of them 90-pound talents that they talk about in the book of Revelation. That's not a headstone. That's a literal stone. That's what somebody asked me one time. Said, "Well, you can't talk about this dress and all this stuff that's in the Old Testament." Said, "What are you going to do?" Said, "They used to stone people when they did things wrong in the Old Testament." I said, "Don't worry. Go over there in Revelations and read where them 90-pound stones weighing 90-pound hailstones are going to pound this earth and pound the people. They're going to get their stoning. It's just they're going to get it over there, you know, and not like they did in the Old Testament. But it is a type of, it's the same thing. It's the ending up of all things. That stoning in the Old Testament was a type of this world being stoned in the New Testament, all right? It's like Brother Bob was bringing out really good the other night, and I'd never thought about that. Smart as I am, I hadn't thought about that. So it was good. About I'll be fishers of men, and then the fish being the trout, you know, and all, when Brother Brown was talking about the third pool. That's what Jesus was telling the people. He said, I'm coming to fish these people out. I'm coming to, you know, I'm coming back, but I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to do it through you. So Brother Branham's standing there fishing. Well, what's he doing? He's fishing for trout, which is what? If he's fishers of men, then that trout is me and you. That's what he's catching. He's catching the people, bringing them in. First pull got their attention. Second pull brought them in a little bit closer, bigger fish. And then the third pull was the big, great big ones. All right? So wonderful type there, and it was really good. Having faith that someday, having faith, so he dropped right back down. It's like Brother Claude and I were talking about. You got to have faith for every one of these. You never leave that foundation of faith. You got to have faith that God gives you virtue. You got to have faith that God gives you knowledge, temper. You got to have faith that God gives you these things. Everything's built on faith because there's no way you can buy it. You can't get a receipt for it. You know, it'd be nice to say, well, when I get knowledge, God's going to give me a receipt and say, now you have knowledge. That would be wonderful. But that's not the way God is, because we're going to have knowledge all the way up through until the end. Brother Branham brought us the word, but it takes the fivefold ministry to break it down to the people. Having faith that someday, now not when you want him to come. That's the whole problem. We want people to see it just as quick as you tell them. Ain't going to happen. Now, some will, but some won't. I like the ones that come in kicking and screaming and fighting. I've told you that many times before. If somebody ever walks in this door and says, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we've never heard of this, and this is the greatest thing, and blah, blah, 6 months later, they're gone. Because they just get a feeling. They just get an emotion. But somebody that comes in and 6 months later they're going, I don't know about this one God business. I don't know about this. I'm still leaning toward, you know, I go, well, that's fine. You just stay right there. Having faith that someday you will bring him in. No, that's not what that says. That's what we want to do. We want to bring him in. We want to hold him over the fire. No, knowing faith that someday God will bring him in. All right. Brotherly kindness, 7th thing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Brother Bram taps on the chalkboard. Then you're coming. Now remember, he goes over into blasphemous names and continues and expounds on the statue of a perfect man. Now, but in this church age, the message is being poured into the church. But the church body itself is altogether like this tabernacle, we'll say. That's where she comes to the church. This tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There's no such thing. Individuals that come into this church is Holy Ghost tabernacles. There are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost, but not the church body, a group. Therefore, it runs out. But what this man was pouring, now what he's doing is, and we're going to read it probably next Sunday to just kind of solidify everything together. We're going to read Sister Shepherd's dream. Remember her dream? She dreams that she was standing and looking at this thing, and there was water being poured in, and Brother Brown explains all that. And he talks about honey, and he talks about things like that. So we're going to do it next Sunday. But I want to just lay a foundation for this brotherly kindness, because we're going to stay on brotherly kindness pretty good bit, all right? But he's talking about, but this man was pouring the water, the messenger to the church, pouring the message into the church, but what was the water doing? Now, it was boiling out all the trash. Now, I really like that. You say, bless God, I'm born again, I don't have any trash. No, vision or dream was all about. There stood Sister Shepherd, a Holy Ghost filled woman. Brother Branham, in type of the man, was pouring the water in, and what was coming out? Trash. There was still trash in that tabernacle that had to be cleaned out even after the new birth. Sure. It's getting the excess trash out. It's like I told you last Sunday, we have our foreskin, we have the excess skin taken off at the new birth, right? But there's still excess. What did I tell you? This is your biggest organ of your body. Your skin is the biggest organ of your body. It covers 99% of your body. So this is what the problem is. Your natural heart's not the problem, lungs, liver, whatever. It's your skin. It's your flesh. That's where the problem is, all right? But now remember, that's what these verses, and if it was given and promised, it's a requirement, then God's made a way for us to do it. So it's not unattainable. Poor little Sister Shepherd was probably just a housewife, a little granny that lived at home, but God gave her a dream. And there was the vision of her going up the statue of a perfect man, because that's what it was. It was, remember, it was coming down, and then the water was running over her feet. She had something to do with the vision. The water was running on her feet. So here we are back to us. The water's got to run on our feet. And remember, feet stands for what? Redemption. She was being born again. Not, she had her first birth. But Peter says being born again. See, Peter's the one that could know that because he's the one that went up this statue of a perfect man. Being born again. Everybody got that? That was the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Boils it up now. Now the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling, see, of brotherly kindness, the age that we live in now. So the honey represents brotherly kindness. Well, that right here is brotherly kindness right here. And that honey is the Holy Spirit that Brother Brown will talk about a little bit later, but he talks about sealing this in. All right, we're going to seal this in with something. Got it? We get all the way up here. That's why the people in the message, a lot of people say, well, no, you don't get born again until up here. Well, that's absolutely not true. Because this is the faith of God, the virtue of God, the knowledge of God, the temperance of God, the patience of God, the godliness of God, and the brotherly kindness of God. How are you going to know anything about God if you don't have His Spirit in you? There's no way you can understand any of this without having the new birth right down here in the baby form. No way. The people on the day of Pentecost, they had to get the new birth. Peter had to get the new birth before he could understand and write, add to your virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Peter had to get the new birth before he could say being born again. Being born again. So that means he was born one time. He had to be born again. All right, being born again. But then you come here to this part. Excuse me. We've been having fun for the past few days, and we've been talking and laughing, cutting up, so excuse my voice. But the Holy Spirit is that honey that seals it in, because I'm going to tell you something. Like I said before, this is God. That is Jesus Christ Himself. That love, that's Jesus Christ Himself. That's not love for your wife, love for your parents. That has nothing to do with filial love. Filial love can turn you into, it can go to lust, right? Remember Brother Bram said it starts out, it's love for your wife, then love for your parents, and then love for your children, then it drops in, just keeps right going on down to lust. And that's what Satan did. He took it right on down to lust and the things of the flesh. But this is divine love. So it's the divine nature of God. The Holy Spirit sealing everything off. But you've got to have that brotherly kindness. It's right there, and it's very narrow. Doesn't mean you don't have to have less of it. It means that most people are not going to get it. A lot of people are going to get faith. But a lot of people are not going to handle that brotherly kindness. Now, the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling of brotherly kindness, the age that we live in now. Now, you might say, look, I sure don't like Brother Neville. Or sure I don't like Brother Jones. I don't like Brother so-and-so. And something like that. But just let something happen to him, brother. Your heart's broke. It just nearly killed you. See, we can obtain brotherly kindness and feeling for one another. See, but to maintain in a group of people, that's the problem. You see what he's talking about? To maintain that in a group of people. Why do you care for that brother? Because you broke bread with him here at the altar, as you will tonight. You fellowship with him. You shook his hand. You worship with him. He's your brother. And he might do something in the flesh that you would disagree with. because you just kind of stay, which you ought to do, but shun him a little. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would just nearly kill you or that sister. I'm an old man. I was once young, now I'm old. I've seen it down through the ages do that. Hear people say, I just won't have no more to do with him. And something happened to that man, it nearly kills him. He thinks, oh God, let my precious brother go without making friends with him. You see? It's brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does stick. The honey, it sticks. We may do a little part on honey and may type it into this part right here. We'll see. And then let's read this one. That's the way God does the church. He beats every creed, every denomination, every man-made dogma until he sees his own life reflecting in you. Now that's what he's doing here. Remember, these are character developments. Brother Keith Reed called them the trials of life, and that's exactly what it is, because remember, we read the scripture where it said it pertained to life and godliness. So this pertains to natural life that we live and being a Christian, which should be the same, but remember, we do things in life that's not always Christian. Oh, you don't? Well, I don't, me and Bob do.
That's right.
We're the ones telling the truth. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See, if what is purpose to the church. Now, what's purpose to the church? 2 Peter. That's purpose to the church. That's a promise. Right? That by these promises, we read them, these divine promises, that you'll receive the divine nature of God. The life, see, if what is purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ, isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still if you haven't got patience, virtue, all these things, temperance, things, godliness, brotherly kindness, and all these things that's required of you. All right? They're required. They're not just a pretty chart to look at and something to fill up tape space. No, it's a requirement. And it's a holy requirement. Okay? No matter what you've done, no matter how much you've shouted, how many churches you've joined, how many feathers you've pinned into yourself, don't do it. Wait till genuinely from your heart you can forgive, till your heart you have brotherly kindness. No matter if they pull a handful of beard from one side, you can turn the other cheek with sweetness, see? Until those virtues, no matter what they say to you. So until those virtues come, it will matter what people say about you, and it will all these things, but when it comes down to where they pulled Jesus' beard out and they did all the things to him, he could have stopped the whole process. He could have had them, they could have been zapped out of existence. Right? He could have done it. He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song goes, but he didn't. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. And then remember when we were talking about godliness. We were talking about godliness, and here we are at brotherly kindness. That godliness it flows right over into brotherly kindness. Because remember, we're going to read the dream next Sunday. The honey didn't flow down to brotherly kindness and stop. It flowed all the way down. And all the trash that come out, it flowed all the way down. So in other words, it was cleaning that tabernacle out so that God could, now God dwells in you at the new birth. Everybody understand that, right? That's God. God says, I am pleased to dwell in you. Just like at the River Jordan, a type where Jesus standing there, and this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. When you receive the new birth, God is pleased to dwell there. But he's not pleased with a lot of things that we do. But he's pleased to dwell in your soul. But remember, we got to get that memory, reason, conscious, affection. We don't worry about see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Right? We talked about that last Sunday. Remember that? We don't worry about see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You can't help seeing what you see in this world. But when you take it down into your memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination, and you cook that thing, that's the problem. Now, if you're born again, it can't get any further. If you're not, see, my problem was when I wasn't born again, there was no filter. It just soaked right down into the soul, and the soul said, yeah, I like what I see or I hear. You see what I'm talking about? But now, since you have the new birth, which burnt Satan out, and he can't get into that soul, But he can get into that spirit realm. He's in that memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And he's that's his playground. But to me, these virtues is driving him out. Now remember, we're still going to have our memory of things we've done right up to the change. I don't think God's going to wipe our memory out until we get on the other side. Amen? We're going to, and even on the other side, we're going to know where we came from. We're just not going to remember the bad things, because the Bible says former things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We'll be able to sit and talk about the things of God and the glorious things of God. We won't talk about the bad things. But still, the bad things are going to be in our memory. But what we have to do is, we have to remember one thing. If Jesus said we can do it, as he said he was going to come back, remember I was preaching on my God. He's the God of my life. Brother Brown preached that the night after the Statue of Perfect Man. He preached the God of my life. All right. If you take that God and let him do it, now remember, you can override that. You can. You can override that. Your free moral agency, I'm going to make a statement here. Your free moral agency is more powerful than God. Because God won't override your free moral agency. God's not going to make you do anything. If he is, he's a respecter of persons, and he made you do this, and he can't judge you for it. Everything has to be what you thought of, what you think, what you see, what you do. Then God can judge you for that. Amen? I mean, that's the way I see it. If not, then we're just a bunch of zombies. We just get the Holy Ghost, and we're like, no. God, but remember, on the other side, he foreknew. So he knew what you would choose before you chose it. But he can't make you choose anything. He leaves you on free moral agency to decide what you want to do. And then you know what? You can be a just judge when you do that. But you can't be a just judge if God just says, well, I picked Peggy Dale and I pulled her right through life and I had all this waiting. Well, the reason he had all that waiting for us is because one day she chose him. Amen? That's the way we see it in this church. Foreknowledge comes before predestination. God foreknew those who he foreknew he did predestinate. The only way he could make your destiny determined beforehand is because he knew before what your destiny was going to be. He knew what you would choose. He knew that you would go so far up the statue of a perfect man and not go any further. He knows that, but we don't. But he didn't say, well, now I know Bob's only going to come to temperance, so I'm not going to give him anything else. I'm not going to give him nothing to work with. No, he gives him everything to work with, but he's going to say at the end, he's going to say, now, Bob, you stopped at temperance. You didn't have faith to go to knowledge. Is that okay? Is that all right? I mean, we're little gods. Now, when he says we're little gods, that's exactly what we are. We're little creators. We can create this in ourselves. It's there. All right? But in brotherly kindness, you're going to have to wrap all these up. Remember, you see what he just said? You got to have knowledge. Number one, you got to have knowledge whether the person's right or wrong. Temperance. Remember, don't let your temper flare up if you don't agree with you exactly the way you see it the way you see it. Have patience. And then, you know what? Brother Branham, Billy Paul said the one thing about his daddy was you didn't know who his enemies or his friends were. Now, you can't say that about me. And I can't say that about me. And you can't say that about you yet. Some of you are close. But some of us we know who we're against and who we're for, and you know who we're against and who we're for. But when you take Brother Branham with a guy that people hated his guts, hated for him to even be in the room with him, yet he treated them exactly like that person. And don't tell me that prophet didn't know where there's a familiar spirit and an unfamiliar spirit. He knew that. He had to override that spirit. See, that's something we don't do. That's good. I just got that. That's good. We have to override that spirit that tells me that man's against me. Because humanly, but when that love projects, Brother Brown said, grace takes over. So when love projects, that grace will take over and you'll say, okay, the brother's not right or he's doing something wrong. Let's just bear with him. Now look, you don't have to get into the slop with him or her. Don't get in the slop with him. Don't say, well, I'm not going to church because they're not going to church. I'm going to go testify to him on Sunday. No, the best way for you to testify is for you to be here. and then draw them to you. Okay? Let's go upstairs because we may have a few extra people. So when you walk in, don't look at somebody like they got your seat, okay? You know how it is. You walk down the aisle and you go, "You got my seat." Find you a place and sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen to that. Huh?
I said, you don't have to be a prophet to know someone hates you.
Absolutely.
No, you don't.